wind must have blowed doors shut on a lot of people this morning. Got a skinny crowd so far. Everybody hear me okay? Well, what's that?
That was a cute joke.
The only time I was ever wrong, the one time I thought I was wrong and I wasn't. Last week, you know, I thought I was, had written down the wrong passage. Well, it was right. I just read it wrong. I had Galatians 5:16 and following written down, and I read it Galatians 6:16 and following. Last week we talked about not being led by our emotions, our feelings, but being led by the Spirit. I want to look at that passage real quickly before we begin today, because it was a good one. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. What are the desires of the flesh? Could emotions be some of those things? For the desire of the flesh is against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, in order to keep you from doing whatever you want. Doing whatever you want. What's that? Could easily be our emotions, couldn't it? But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality, impurity, indecent behavior, idolatry, witchcraft, hostilities, strife, look at this, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I warned you, forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, and joy, and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. But those who belong to Christ Jesus crucified the flesh with its what? Passions and desires. Its emotions. If we live by the Spirit, let's follow the Spirit as well. Let's not become boastful or challenging one another and envying one another. See what a good passage that was about last week's lesson? I was really bummed that I couldn't find it. But I went straight home and realized what I had done. Yeah. Anyway, pretty evident about what that we should not be led by our emotions, but by the Holy Spirit. Today's lesson from Galatians is Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let's not become discouraged in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not become weary. So then, while we have the opportunity, let's do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith. I added verse 10. Don't grow weary while doing good. How many times have we read this passage? In the hundreds, probably. We read this and we go, yeah, we know, right? I know. That's literally yada, yada. But I want to ask, of course, a couple of questions this morning, and these two questions may challenge you. What does it mean? This is the first one. What does it mean to do good? Because when we read this passage, that's really most of us, at least I do a lot of times, go, I know. And I never stop to think about what does it literally mean to do good?
If we're doing it the right way.
Doing what?
Good.
What does it mean to do good? There's. What's that? Anything that makes you feel good? Not being led by emotions. There's some action involved because it says do. Okay, Carol?
Doing things for other people, not thinking about what it affects you or how it affects you, but just doing for the other person.
Okay. Doing things for other people, really no matter how it affects you. Because sometimes it's like Faith says, when we may not even realize we're doing good at the moment. But then something happens, we look back and go, that was good that I did that. I'm glad I did that. It makes you feel, that's what you're talking about, Faye. It's the opposite of when you had a chance to do something good and didn't do it, and you go, you fill with regret later. Right. Richard?
So you pointed out, since what I was thinking is doing, there's an action.
Mm-hmm.
And we just came off the scripture, right? The fruits of the Spirit. If you go back and look at each one of those as an action,
mm-hmm.
That's what it's talking about. I think that's what everybody's describing here. You're asking a pointed question. So I think you can go back to those, and you can look at love and joy and peace and patience. And all those are action. Those are the things that are good.
Those are the...
Those are some
things that, one of them is actually goodness. I mean.
Well, you can, right? Show goodness, right?
Yeah. These fruits of the Spirit that is mentioned in chapter 5 are things that we, he says we will have them if we are led by the Spirit. And so we can recognize them. We see what they are. We can read them. And then maybe we need to look at ourselves and go,
how am I doing?
You know, am I really being led by the Spirit? Are these types of things part of me? But sometimes... I don't know. I guess it's just me. I want to know.
Well, sometimes the fruit of the Spirit is a choice.
Okay.
You can choose to be good. And once you get that down, you realize how, and we're going back to feelings here, how it makes you feel that you did do that.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got an emotion, but it's a good emotion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's kind of the way the fruit of the Spirit is. You give it away. You make that choice. I'm going to be patient with this person.
Mm-hmm.
And usually you have a good feedback from it.
Okay.
Yeah, Arlen, my reference when I said that a while ago was just, as long as you are doing it in the fruit of the Spirit, not, oh, look at me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to, of course, take ourselves out of it. But, I guess the reason I ask this question, a lot of us probably, when we think, what does it mean to do good? We start thinking about specific good deeds, don't we? And that's okay, but there's a danger in that. The danger is, I think, we tend to say, okay, the scripture has told me to not get tired of doing good. So I need to do good. So I'm going to sit here and wait until I have an opportunity. Until I see an opportunity to do good. Is that how we should be? Yeah, I mean, not just looking for them, but living a certain way that it just, boy, it comes so automatically, you know? And right. Right. It's just, you know, you are able, because you're being led by the Spirit and you have these fruits of the Spirit, you can automatically, whatever pops up, you're good to go. It's not sitting back and going, well, I'm going to wait until I see a little old lady needing to go across the street, you know? I mean, what's that? Right. We feel safe in our own little bubble, don't we? The second, here's another question, and this one I think is a good one too. Doing good versus what? Okay, and I didn't think of that one for quite a while. Doing good, the first thing came to my mind was versus doing evil, you know? And I think we see that in Galatians 5, didn't we? Those desires of the flesh, the things that it says that the Spirit is actually diametrically opposed to. But also doing nothing is what is versus doing good. Uh-huh. And I think that kind of goes along with what we were saying a while ago about waiting in our own little bubble for something magnificent to happen so that we have an opportunity to step out and do good, you know? Right, right. An opportunity that you desire, okay? So good versus what would be not just evil, but doing nothing at all. The next, and we're going to look at a few passages here in a minute, but the Greek word ekluo means tired or weary. Ekluo, that's the word that's used here where it says don't grow weary. Now, what does yours say? Does yours say don't grow weary? What does yours say?
Don't get tired of doing what
it says. Don't get tired of, okay. Also translated correctly.
And tired of, to me, is the fine difference between, you can be tired from not sleeping or working too hard or your baby kept you up all night, but tired of doing something is a emotion, kind of an emotion where
okay.
It's kind of like thinking that just because you get older, you've done good up until now, and it's time for somebody else, like you said, to mm-hmm. take over and do it. We're supposed to keep doing as long as we can.
And you may not do to the degree, or the same thing, or different stuff. Yeah.
Okay. The word that clues us in on that is to get tired or to grow weary. It doesn't happen all of a sudden, does it? You're doing good for however long, and all of a sudden you're going, man, I'm just getting tired of being this way, right? That's kind of an odd thing. How can we become tired of accepting and using and having a part of us all those fruits of the Spirit we just read about? So he's encouraging us here to not get tired of doing good. I've used this before, and I'll tell it again real quickly. There was a teacher who had, I don't remember the guy's name, but he was a well-known teacher. And he taught Sunday class, you know, adult class, every Sunday morning in his congregation. And every Sunday morning, when he went into the classroom, the cleaning person had put the chairs against the wall. So he had to line them all up again like he wanted them every Sunday morning. And he said, I'm just getting so sick and tired of this. And the thing I said before was, the scripture came to his mind, pick up your cross daily and follow me. Don't get tired of doing what's right, doing good. Okay? Yes.
Sometimes you do things other people don't appreciate, but they still keep
doing good things. Right. That's one of the things that can cause us to maybe get tired of doing good. You know, I think I'd rather be in that position, doing it no matter what, than at my funeral, someone to say, you know, that old guy never did anything for anybody.
Yeah.
Yep.
And somewhere, I think probably here or in some place like this place, do the next right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that, it doesn't have to be something big like, you know, pay from the walls or the next right thing, whatever that is in the moment that you're in.
Yeah. Susan brought one thing up, and I'll go ahead. I had this question written down next. What can make us tired of doing good? Lack of gratitude. Okay. Sometimes we do good, though, that doesn't really, there is no expectation of gratitude. Okay. Right. We should not expect anything. Okay. Mm-hmm. That didn't make him stop healing, though, did it? No. There's several things I think that can make us tired of doing good, but here he says, don't get tired of doing good. The opposite is horrible. Okay. I want us to look at some scriptures for a little bit. Do we need or want to be like Christ?
Yes.
I mean, obviously, yes. That is one of our goals. Christ is our rabbi, and we need to follow him. Okay. Closely. Ray Vanderlaan would say, close enough when he kicks up dust on the path, it needs to get on us, okay? Acts chapter 10, in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it said, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus went about doing good. That's what he was known for. Here they go, right here, they go, you remember Jesus of Nazareth, don't you? Yeah, he's the one that went about doing good. I wish, of course, John says, you know, the world's not big enough to hold all the books if we wrote down everything that Jesus did. I wish we could just see for just a moment all the things he did, all the good things that he did in his life. And And I doubt if he woke up every morning going, you know what? I really need to concentrate today on doing good. Right? It was a part of him, right? That's just who he was. And that's what we need to try to become. We need to try to become like him. When somebody says, you know, old Arlen Montgomery from Bertram, I hope they can say, you know, he went about doing good, you know. Not because that makes me feel good, but that would tell me I'm following my rabbi, okay? I'm following my teacher. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5. Why should we do good? Just because it tells us to in Galatians? I mean, even if we didn't do evil, why do we need to do good? Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 tells us, your light must shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father. So the reason we need to when he says don't get tired of doing good, because every time we do good, God is glorified in one way or another. This is how we glorify God is, and it's not, he doesn't say, let's read it again. Your light must shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works. So, is that the reason we do good things? So that other people will notice? I know people in this congregation who do good things that nobody knows what they do. I know. I've seen them. But they don't do it so that other people will notice. But the good things that he's talking about here, they're the types of things that people would notice and see God or glorify God because of them, okay? We just got through doing some good in this congregation, didn't we? How many baskets did we deliver? 14. So how many people did we serve? A bunch, okay? And most of those people, they may have told you thank you when you brought the basket to them, but they'll never think another thing about it. But God was glorified because some of them remember that year after year after year. They remember what the Bertram Church of Christ did for them. So don't get tired of doing good, and let's let it glorify God. Yes. Yeah. In the world today, it's doing good things is not really normal. Okay, we called a lady. We had a basket, extra basket, and I called my mechanic because he knows a lot of people and he works on people's cars. He said, yeah, I know a lady that might use that. Her husband died a couple of years ago, and he goes, I've been trying to keep her cars going for her. So I called her. And she didn't take it because she's trying to eat very well, like, yeah, what organically, okay. And I couldn't tell her, you know, all our stuff's organic. But she was so thankful that we even thought to call her, you know. That she was thought of by somebody that was willing to give her that. Yep, don't get tired of doing that good. I want us to look now in Ephesians chapter 2. We have been reading Ephesians chapter 2 in our elders meeting this year. And there's a passage here I wanted us to talk about for a minute. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Good, doing good is what we were created for. That's why we're made. And God, even before, you know, what was that passage say? I saw you before you were made in your mother's womb. You know, I see, when I contemplated that for a while one day, I think this, and I really think this, I think God can see, you know, what are we made out of? Huh? Water? Minerals? You know? We're made out of that stuff. I see God, I think God can see in the earth the parts that are going to make up Arlen Montgomery. And that's kind of a strange thought. You can deal with that on your own. But I think here he says God has laid out things for you to accomplish, good things for you to do before you were even born. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Absolutely. And another reason not to grow weary of doing good. There's another interesting thing I want us to look at in 1 Timothy. You want to turn there? 1 Timothy chapter 6. Yeah. And it's an individual thing, right? Yep. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 17, is that right? Yeah. Don't second guess myself. 2 Timothy chapter 6, 17 through 19. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to set their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Are we rich? We are a rich people. Some of us have less than others, but we're all rich in this country, trust me. And so I think, personally, I think this applies to us. We are to, he says he wants us to do good and to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Isn't that the reason? That's not the only place it mentions this. The reason for us being blessed with riches is so that we can share with others, right? We can take care of those that don't have what we have, okay? So keep these things in mind when we're thinking, boy, I want to do good. I want to be this way. So keep your eyes open for times that you can, he says, to be ready to share. In verse 17, he said, instruct those who are rich in this present world. And then in verse 19, he says, they can store up for themselves a foundation for the future. So he's looking at life here and life beyond. But then look what he says at the end of verse 19. This is what struck me. So that they may take hold of that which is, what does yours say? True life. In other words, you want to know what life's all about? It's about using what you have to help other people. It's about being generous and sharing. Not just thinking about yourself. That's true life. That really struck me. Let's look in James now. The book of James. Chapter 2, 18 through 24. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to acknowledge, you foolish person, that faith without works is useless? Was our father Abraham not justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Justified by works, we don't like to say that, do we? So should I be out here just thinking about doing works? I don't think so. I think what I should be doing is being led by the Spirit and letting that come natural. Not looking for, we talked about the first class, not looking for this spectacular way that I can go do a good deed. But becoming the kind of person that we read about in 1 Timothy, that's willing to share, whose attitude is one of generosity. What do we call that? Anybody remember? I've taught you this and taught you this. Huh?
It's a test.
Do you remember what it's called to the Jew? To be generous? It's having a good eye. Having a good eye. If you have a bad eye, means you're stingy, okay? But Jesus taught us to have a good eye, to be generous. Okay. And, I want to read that again. Back in Galatians chapter 6. And a lot of times we get stuck right here. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. So then, while we have the opportunity, when is that? While we're alive, let's do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Boy, sometimes it's pretty easy to do good to those of the household of faith, isn't it? And we think, well, as long as we're doing that, that's not what it says, though. It says, do good to all people. Do you know anybody is there anybody in your life that you know of that you're going, man, I really don't know. I don't want to do anything good for that person. And God's not holding you by the throat and going, do good to them. It's an attitude, okay? We need to cultivate that attitude of doing good to everyone. Don't get tired of doing that good. Make it a part of your life. And the last three words I wrote here, and this is it. That's all of next week. It's Alan, you next week. The last three words I wrote here is don't give up. You know, remember Paul used to hold fast, okay? Hold fast. Alan, what do you want to announce what you're teaching so they can? Or not. You don't have to.
Okay.
It's a secret to Alan.
Yeah.